Good morning.
Good morning, brother.
How is everybody?
Peachy,
I like that. Well, once again, I'm out of my comfort zone, second week in a row, thanks to Mr. Hyde there. So last week I was the speaker while the men were at Cannon Beach. And this week I've been asked to, I think I really more use the older phrase, it's more like a testimony time. I've been asked to relate how God has led in my life and our family's lives over the past few years. I'm sure a lot of you know my situation a couple of years ago when I lost my job after 25 years and fell into a very deep depression. I look back on it now, a lot of times it's like Fritz or Craig and Beth, sometimes we only see where God purposes to take us and where he's leading us when we look back. I read a little, one of those little Multnomah booklets years ago by Philip Yancey about guidance, and that was one of the main takeaways from his book, was that he is saying that sometimes we don't really know exactly how God wants to guide us and lead us and empower us until we look back and see where we've been coming from, and then we have a better idea maybe of where we're going. It's hard when talking about something like this that's this personal, it's hard not to touch a little bit on what Fritz and Craig have already presented about, you know, salvation and guidance is kind of interwoven there. It's necessary so that you can be empowered by God's Spirit. Obviously, you won't have God's Spirit unless you've come to the Lord, and you have to be willing to submit to his guidance as well. I like that phrase, be prepared to go, but also prepared to stay. The idea of basically, as another writer put it once, bloom where you're planted was the title of her book, was that wherever God calls you, whether it's here in America, overseas somewhere, or even, you know, a school, a prison ministry, whatever God gives you, wherever he puts you, that's where we're to live for him. And so a scripture that meant a lot to me during my time, and I'll call it illness. I mean, that's what it felt like. I felt like I was, for 2 years, I was literally mentally ill. And Sue kept reminding me about this one. I kept going back to it too. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And then there's the word power. God's very name is a verb. God is. And one of the things God is God is power. Amen. His spirit empowers us to live for him. Heard the phrase expressed that pain is weakness leaving the body. I would come back with the biblical corollary. Authority is power leaving the body. When Jesus was touched by the woman that needed a miracle, he says, "Who touched me?" And his followers thought, "What kind of a question is that? You've got this crowd of hundreds around you, and you're asking, who touched me?" And Jesus' answer was very illuminating. He says, "Someone touched me, for I felt power go out of me," or in other words, authority. Or in other words, in a lot of respects, when you study the Gospels, Jesus viewed his time on earth, he was a channel for the Father and the Spirit, their power and their authority to funnel through him, basically. He was the conduit. We even sing a hymn, there's a hymn in the praise hymnal, "Channels only, blessed master." So we're to take that resurrection life, that empowerment by the Spirit, and it's just to pump us up or say, look how great I am, but it testifies to the power of the resurrected Lord that we're to give it out to other people. It's supposed to go out of us as well as come into us. A verse that touches on that is Romans 8:11. "But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who indwells you." And that's an amazing thought, that we have that resurrection power inside of us. God's spirit that raised Jesus from the dead actually lives in us. And when you ponder and think about that, that's a staggering thought, that we have that kind of power. The question is, what's our motives for using it, and do we even tap into it? Do we make use of the resurrection power of the Spirit, letting him empower us and help, and a corollary, I mean, like Craig and Beth, help guide us? I knew something was wrong the last part of the year that I was at the paper. I was riding the bus out to Hillsboro where my assignment was, and we had purchased a home a couple summers ago, and things were starting to look shaky. The economics were looking shaky. And I was thinking so hard about other things. It seemed like I was kind of crying out to God. It wasn't really prayer, but it was just more concern, thinking about what direction we were going. I got into work, and I sat there frozen at my computer for 40 minutes. I could not think of my morning routine. I don't have anything written down. It's usually just in the head. And it literally, it felt like it left me. I sat there almost in a cold sweat. I was afraid my boss would look over and say, Roger, why aren't you working? I couldn't think what to do for 40 minutes. I was thinking so hard about other things. And that was kind of scary when you realize that your brain basically goes into neutral and shuts off. And it finally came to me, and then I got going the rest of my day. It was pretty uneventful. But that gave me pause. And then in November 2016 that year, I got word that it wasn't just me or for poor job performance. The paper had entered their bureau network they used to have. They used to cover suburban news a lot, and they had pulled that back because of the bad economics. They had gone Portland-centric and basically decided to take me downtown. I was slated for a layoff actually at the end of 2015, and I had an assistant editor who now, by the way, is the editor of the paper there, interceded for me and said, we need to keep Roger. And that was from God, actually. She may have not realized it, but she kept me working for the better part of 2016 as much as I could. I started missing work. I couldn't get out of bed. I was just frozen. It was a very painful time of memories. Sue meant so much to me during that time. You men, if you have devoted Christian wives, you've got a blessing from God. Don't ever forget it. And she basically took on the role of breadwinner while I was sidelined. She paid the bills. She ran the household. That was a scary time. I even doubted my own salvation. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. It's like God gave me a glimpse into the abyss of hell. I didn't literally see flames. I didn't see pitchforks and red suits, like some people like to characterize, but that was miserable. I wouldn't wish that on anybody when you doubt your own salvation. That's not a pleasant feeling. And then God started using the men in this church, this body, other people, our daughter's church, my sister's church. I had three church bodies praying for me for my recovery. And God started slowly bringing me back from the edge. It's like I got a glimpse of what could have been but wasn't. And now God was giving me the glimpse of what could be if I tapped into his resurrection power. It's been said that the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth, said on more than one occasion that he wished his Bible school graduates that after they're done with school, God would take them time to rope, hang them over hell for 24 hours, let them see the horror. And he said the world would hear preaching like it's never heard before. When you get a glimpse of how bad things can be, but God gives you the power to go out and do things for his name and his glory, it's a whole different life. There's a famous book by Watchman Nee called The Normal Christian Life. It's just a study of the first 8 chapters of Romans. The empowered, spirit-led Christian life. And a lot of Christians in our day settle for subnormal. We feed on the crust when, man, God's got a big old buffet laid out for us. My mind would be pizza, ribs, and burgers, but that's the guy in me speaking. Craig said he'd rather go to the bookstore than the hamburger place. I'm afraid I went to the hamburger place too many times, but I did like Christian books too growing up. I loved it. Best job I ever had was for about a year. I worked for the man and his wife who owned Pilgrim Discount. I was in the used book buyer. It was like Powell's, but it was only better. I got to buy Christian books. Man, that was fun. That was probably the best job I ever had. But God has taken my family and me through all this spiritual journey we've been on over the years. I wouldn't trade it for anything because God has brought us a long way. And God has helped me to see through these hard times that what he can do with a person, with a man or woman who's yielded to his spirit. It's the principle of you can't serve two masters that Jesus preached about several times in the Gospels. Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for those are in opposition to one another, so you may not do the things that you please." You can't serve two masters. If you're going to get caught up in making money and power, piling up the toys, whatever, you're not going to be able to serve God in the Spirit and in His power. You've got to decide, which one are you going to choose? It's like that I'm not a big fan of him, but in his Christian period, Bob Dylan wrote one stanza that said, you got to serve somebody. It's the principle of authority that God builds into His universe, His kingdom. There's God's authority, and there's the adversary's authority. You have to pick, which one are you going to serve? You have to serve somebody. There's no neutral in this war. And I just want to close with a scripture that's also meant a lot. The empowering. It's a command. It's not an option. God tells us in Ephesians 5:18, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And I'm told by men who have written commentaries who know the Greek there, that that's a continual imperative. That's just not once and you're done, not a one and done, but it's always, it's every day, filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. To me, that's what it means to be empowered by the Spirit, is recognizing whose we are, who we serve, and also realizing that people here we know in this body are brothers and sisters in Christ. If we're subject to them, and not out of a fearsome fear, but a reverential fear, in other words, reverencing God, putting Him in His proper place on the throne, and then living with each other in harmony and peace and power and love, that's the way God wants it. That's what He wants for this body. And I pray that His work will be accomplished in the coming months and years. Thank you.